Good morning. If you'll open your Bibles to Acts chapter 5, and when you found it, then look up here. I want to welcome those who are guests among us especially. We have them. We're honored that you've come to be with us. We want to extend to you this invitation to come back and to worship with us anytime you have the opportunity. We're glad you're here. And of course, we're glad to see one another to catch up on the events of the week, to hear about the successes that you've had, and even to throw our arms around each other occasionally and comfort one another when we've not been just everything we should be, or everything's not gone just the way we think that it should. We're glad that you're here. Young people, meet me this afternoon, 5 o'clock, right here. This is the Sunday that's going to be the challenge. This is the week that's going to be the challenge. You know it is. You slept 1 hour later this morning, or you got up the same time, and that makes all of this. You're going to be ready when it gets dark, right? You're going to be, if you're like me, when my chickens go to bed, I want to go to bed. This is going to be the week. This is going to be the week. Parents, be sure your children are here. Tonight we're going to be talking about our children learn to be joyful, need to learn to be joyful. I mean, not everything that happens to us in our lives is pleasant, is it? Not everything just goes our way. Not everything is just like we think that it ought to be. But you know, our attitude determines whether that thing that happens to us is going to make our day or ruin our day. We're going to be looking at that. And the adults, you're going to be learning why you need to be teaching your children to be joyful, that it's not about what happens to you. It's not about what takes place. Can you quote this one? It's not in your little card. It's not in your little card, but it begins with an R. Rejoice. Oh, you know it, don't you? There's where our rejoicing is, isn't it? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know where Paul was when he wrote that? Sitting in a Roman prison. Did he let it ruin his day? No. And we're not going to either. And our children have to learn that. Hey, they're working on their memory work. I hope you are. If you want one of these 20, ABCs. That's just all there are. So there's 26 of them front and back. And I know at least one who knows them through W. That means that this young lady likes three. Only likes three of them. I know another one who knows them, at least one more, who knows them through the letter T. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Our children are doing great. But hey, we as adults, we need to be working on these things as well. So if you need one, they're on the front seat. Pick it up. Learn with your children. Learn with your grandchildren. Learn with those young people those things so that, it can be a family thing. It can be a family thing. So meet me this afternoon now, 5 o'clock, right up here. Okay, right up here. I want to remind you that each Wednesday we get together at 6 o'clock and everyone's invited. Come enjoy a meal. And then, at about 6:20, somewhere along in there, us kids, we get together and we go back in a classroom. And your kids are learning some marvelous things. You know that the ones who have been with us, they can tell you what happened on the 7 days of creation. Forward, backward, you can pick any one of them. In between, you can pick any one of them. Watch this. Young people, look right up here. On the fourth day, sun, moon, and stars. On the fourth day, he can tell you what's on the fifth day. He can tell you what's on the third day. You just pick a day, he's going to be able to tell you. He can do them forward, he can do them backward. They can do these. They can tell you about those things. And we're just kind of working our way through the story of the Bible. So you come eat with us, bring your kids, about 6:20, and then 7 o'clock we have a regular Bible study. Have you found Acts chapter 5 yet? Acts chapter 5. I want to talk to you this morning about obedience. Let me set the stage for you, okay? Let me set the stage for you, or we'll be here too long. Let me set the stage for you this morning about what's happened. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's shown himself to be alive. Someone says, well, they were just delusional. He showed himself to over 500 at one time. Folks, that's a whole lot of delusion right there now. He showed himself alive. After 40 days, he ascended up. The Holy Spirit came down. The church was established on the day of Pentecost. And those people who became Christians turned their world upside down and inside out. And the priests, the Sadducees, and those religious leaders of that day, they didn't like it. And so they arrested the apostles. Threw them into the common prison. And at night, the Lord opened the gates of that prison and let those apostles out. Kind of a sanctified jailbreak, if you want to think about it like that. Hey, let those prisoners out. And said, now go and you preach in the temple. The next morning, the chief priest calls for them to come before him. And he sends his servants to the jail, to the prison. They come back in a little bit and said, when we got there, we found the doors of the jail shut. We found the guards standing outside. But when we opened the door, no man was in there. As they were discussing, one man said, well, those men you're talking about, they're in the temple teaching. Go get them. Go get them. And so they went and got them, and they brought them without violence. Without violence, because the chief officer, the officers who went to get them, were afraid of the people, that the people would stone them for arresting these men. But they came without violence because the apostles didn't resist. They came without violence and came before the chief priest. And the chief priest said, did we not order you not to preach in this man's name? And yet you stirred the whole city up, and you're trying to lay this man's blood at our charge. Now, you're up to Acts chapter 5, verse number 17, or verse number, we're going to begin in verse number 27 for the sake of our time. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. If you're one of these who marks your Bible, I mark mine. I'm not telling you mark it or don't mark it. But if you're one who marks your Bible, there's you a verse to mark right there. We must obey God rather than men. Notice in verse number 29, you find the word obey. Look down in verse number 32. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, to whom God hath given to them that obey him. We find the word obey in verse 29. We find the word obey in verse number 32. But we find obedience all throughout this section. I want to talk to you about obedience. Obedience. It truly is the pathway to happiness. There is no such thing as a happy, disobedient Christian. There is no such thing. I'll say that again for you. There is no such thing as a happy, disobedient Christian. You can fake it. You can pretend it. But if you're not living an obedient life to your God and your Savior Jesus Christ, you are miserable and you know it. That's the reason we can sing that song, can't we? Trust and obey, for there is no other way To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. It's the only way. You're going to live a miserable life any other way. I want us to look this morning at obedience. I want us to look this morning simply at the reasons for obedience. If it's the Lord's will and I don't change my mind, that's two possibilities. If it's the Lord's will and I'm here next week, we'll look at the requirements for obedience and the rewards of obedience. Unless I change my mind. That's two possibilities, right? That's two possibilities. But we're looking this morning at the reasons for obedience, because I know something. If you don't understand the reason for obedience, you're never going to be obedient. If you see no purpose in it, why should I be obedient? Why should I be concerned about being obedient to God? You're never going to do it unless you understand the reasons for obedience. Reason number one. Obedience is a duty to be performed. Obedience is a duty to be performed. Look back in verse 29. We must obey God rather than man. I mean, there it was. God says, do this. Go speak in the temple the words of life. Men said, don't teach in this name. Okay, there it is. God says one thing, man says another. Which one am I going to do? Well, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? It's a no-brainer. If you think about it, God said do this, men say do that. That's pretty well a no-brainer. Which one are we going to do? We must obey God rather than men. Obedience is a duty to be performed. We must, not should, ought to. Well, I will if I feel like it. I will unless something else, comes along. No, we must. We must obey God. We must. It is a duty to be performed. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, a king, was told to do something. But rather than do that thing, he went about his own devices. He thought it out himself, and he decided that it was better to go a different route than to do what God had said. The prophet shows up. Listen to what the prophet says to him. This is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 22, beginning. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? That's a good question. Hey, that's the way some of us think we're going to get around being disobedient to God. Well, I know God said do this, and I didn't do it, but I gave a big contribution. Listen, you can't buy off God. You can't change it with your sacrifices and with your offerings. Well, I gave a good contribution. You still were disobedient to God. Hath God, the Lord, as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it is better to obey than to sacrifice, and to hearken than to the fat of rams. To listen than to offer all the sacrifices you want to make. It's better to listen and do what God says. Now look at verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Mark that word, witchcraft. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity. Mark that word. Stubbornness is as iniquity. and idolatry. Do you know that when you are disobedient to God, it is the equivalent of practicing witchcraft? You say, well, I don't practice witchcraft. I didn't say you were practicing witchcraft. But when you're disobedient to God, the Bible says you come down on the same side as those who practice witchcraft. You're not on the side of obedience. You're on the side of those who are disobedient. They're on the side of those who seek to do their own way through witchcraft, sorcery, those kind of things. By the way, if you know your Bible, it wasn't long till this king that this prophet is talking to was seeking counsel from a witch. Do you remember that? Witch of Endor. The prophet knew what he was talking about, didn't he? He's inspired of God. Hey, rebellion is as witchcraft. Disobedience, it's like witchcraft. He goes on. He says, stubbornness is as iniquity. It's just wrong. You can't make it right. It's just wrong. I don't care. You say, well, it's such a little thing. It's such a minor thing. You know, I remember one time when my girls were little, one of the girls, we were getting ready to go someplace, and she had papers out all in the living room floor. And I said to her, you know, we're getting ready to leave. Would you pick those papers up? She just sat there. In a few minutes, I said again, we're getting ready to leave. You need to pick those papers up. She stood up and walked off. I said, hey, come back here. I said, we're getting ready to leave. Pick the papers up. No. Well, it's about that time I had to dust her britches. She ran crying to her mama. I remember Beverly coming in. David, it's such a minor thing. It's such a minor thing picking up those papers. You think it really deserved whipping? I said, hey, I didn't spank her for not picking the papers up. I spanked her for defying the father. For defying her father, and that is a major deal, isn't it? That's the reason, kids. That's the reason we have that favorite verse of ours. Starts with a C. Do you remember what it is? Come on, what is it? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know why? Because to do anything else is to defy your parents. And to defy your parents is to defy the Father on high. Isn't that right? I don't care. You say, well, it's such a little thing. I mean, okay, I know the Lord said this, but it's such a minor thing. It may be minor to you, but you're defying the Father, and that's a major thing. It's iniquity. It's iniquity. And then he says, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now, how can disobedience be idolatry? What is idolatry? Well, idolatry is loving anything, fearing anything, serving anything more than God, right? Well, anything or anyone that you love more, anything or anyone that you serve more, anything or anyone that you fear more, anything or anyone that you honor more than God, that's your idol. And what happens when you say, when God says, hey, do this, and you say, oh no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this something. Then that something has become your idol. It's more important to you than God. Oh, I'm going to do this because of someone. Then that someone has become your idol. You see, folks, obedience is a duty to be performed. And to not perform that duty, to not do that, is as witchcraft. It's as iniquity. It's as idolatry. So we need to understand, the reason we need to obey, the reason we must obey God, is because it is a duty to be performed. Number two, it is a debt to be paid. Look back with me in Acts chapter 5. Look at verses, I'm going to begin again in verse 29. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. To give repentance and forgiveness of sins. How much did Jesus do for you? Look at the bloody cross of Calvary and tell me, do you owe him a debt? Oh, we sing the song, don't we? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Hey, we're not talking about earning and meriting our salvation. No one is even suggesting that. You can never live your life in such a way that you can earn or merit the grace of God, the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. You can't do it. But that doesn't mean you don't have a debt. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14, I am a debtor both to the Jew and to the Greek. Now, you ever going to pay that debt off, Paul? No. No. But that don't change the fact I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. Both to the Jew and to the Greek. Hey, we love God. Why? Because he first loved us and gave his son for us, 1 John 3:16. You remember the Apostle Paul had to withstand Peter to his face. It's talked about in Galatians chapter 2. Peter and Barnabas, when the Jews came from Jerusalem, they had separated themselves from the Christians who were of the Gentile background and wouldn't eat with them anymore. And the Apostle Paul had to withstand another apostle to his face. In the course of explaining to the Apostle Peter why it was wrong for him to do what he was doing and right for Paul to do what he was doing, Paul says, these are Paul's words to Peter. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Listen now. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul, why are you living the way you're living? Because he loved me and he gave himself for me. Later, Paul will begin to wrap up this letter to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 14. He says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the whole world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Why do you do the things you do, Paul? Why do you do it? Because of the cross. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's a debt that must be paid. I mean, how can you look at the cross of Christ and say, I don't owe God anything? You owe God everything. Everything. Does he have a right to ask you, to command you? The answer, sure. He's the sovereign God of the world, of the universe, isn't he? He's got every right to command anything of you and of me. We need to be careful about disobedience. Because as the twig is bent, so grows the vine. Listen. As the twig is bent, so grows the vine. You get used to disobeying, and guess what you'll grow up doing? Disobeying. Hey, I'm just like you. I have always lived paycheck to paycheck. Never seemed to have enough. I've always lived that way. And I had kids just like you do. And my kids would many times come to me and say, "Daddy, Daddy, may we have..." And we always tried to determine whether this is a want or a need. Now, if it was a need, I asked nothing out of them. I just went and got something else to make a few dollars, because it's my job to provide for their needs. Now, if it was a want, that was different. That was different. If this is something you just want, then me and you'll go. Me and you'll go, and we'll work. We'll work till you have enough money to get what you want. Y'all may remember over here on Blakemore Road, Mark Anderson one time had planted a grape vineyard. Me and one of the girls that wanted something, we hired ourselves out to Mark Anderson to work in that grape vineyard. And the job was to prune the limbs off and to take the main limb and the wires between those posts to twist those vines along those, begin them twisting along those wires so that as they grew, they'd grow along those wires. Listen, folks, listen. You say, "You a mean old daddy." Listen to me, folks. As the twig is bent, so grows the vine. That's true of a grapevine. That's also true of a kid. That's also true of a kid. You need to be real careful about this obedience stuff. I remember one time, years and years ago, I was a little fella. And after services, you know, hey, I recommend this. I do. The parents let this little fella just run. He'd like to get up on the podium and just run back and forth. Hey, I don't have a problem with that. I'm going to tell you, folks, I think that the church building ought to be the happiest place in the world for your kids. Make it a fun place for them. Make it enjoyable. I don't have a problem with that. But that dad came up and he said, "Okay, it's time to go. Come here." And he'd step over here and the boy would run to there. Daddy'd go around over there. He'd run to there. And we all laughed. He said, "Isn't that cute? That boy to find his daddy like that." And daddy grabbed him up, hugged him, carried him off. No discipline. Carried him off. You know, that boy got to be a teenager. Guess what he was still doing? Defying his daddy, and it wasn't something we laughed about anymore, was it? And now we are here we are, and that boy is a grown man. Guess what he's still doing? Folks, we need to be real careful about this thing it's called obedience. It is a debt to be paid. Number three, obedience is a delight to be enjoyed. It's a delight to be enjoyed. Look down in verse. Oh, let me give you this. We've read down through verse 29. Verse 29. We ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. They talked to him about how that God hath raised up Jesus, whom you slew on a tree. But this Jesus, God's exalted to the right hand, to his right hand, and made him a prince and a savior for to give repentance and remission of sins. We're his witnesses of these things, they say. When they heard that, verse number 33, those Sadducees, when they heard that, they were cut to their heart, verse 33, and took counsel to slay them. They wanted to kill them now. Kill them. One man speaks up and said, hey, if it's God's will, we can't do anything about it. If it's not God's will, it'll come to naught anyway. I'm going to let you read all of that. And so they beat them. Verse number 40. And when they agreed, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now look at verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Did you get that? They were rejoicing. There's joy in obedience, folks. It's a delight to obey. Anyone, anytime you hear anyone say that it is a burden, that it is grievous to obey God, write it down. That is a lie straight out of hell. 1 John 5 verse 3 says, and his commandments are not grievous. He has never commanded you or I to do anything that wasn't for our joy, for our well-being, for our happiness. We'll be better by obeying God every time than we'll be by obeying men anytime. Yes or no? The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. They're not grievous. Hereby know we the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That we keep his commandments. You want to know whether you love God or not? I don't have to be the judge. You're the judge of your own self. Hereby we know that we love God. By keeping his commandments. By keeping his commandments. It's pretty simple, doesn't it? It is a delight to a Christian. I say to you again, there is no such thing as a happy, disobedient Christian. They don't exist. They don't exist. You can be a Christian, you can be disobedient, but you won't be happy. You won't be happy. It is a delight for a Christian to obey the Father. It's a delight. I don't know how old Mom is, but I'm 64. I wish I'd have been better now when I was a boy. I made her life miserable. I mean, cut switches every day. I wish I could go back and relive all those. But this morning she said to me, and she's having surgery Wednesday. She said to me, are you going to take me? Do you think she had to ask me? Do you think she had to ask me? Well, it's my delight. It's my delight. That's the way it is with our God. When we're the kind of Christians that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for, we're just delighted for any commandment he gives us. It's to our joy to do it. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They rejoiced. That's number three. That's number three. Reason number four, and we finished with this one almost. Reason number four, Obedience is a decision you have to make. Look back at verse 42, or 29 again. We must obey God rather than men. I mean, if you back up earlier, beginning at verse number 17, because they'd been preaching in his name, the chief priests and Sadducees gathered up the apostles, threw them into a common prison, and were going to try them the next day. As I told you, in the middle of the night, angel of the Lord opened that prison, set those apostles free, and said, now, go, verse 20, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Look at verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple. What are they doing? What they've been told to do. They entered into the temple early in the morning and they taught. So they get them together again and say, we told you stop teaching. We ought to obey God rather than men. What are we going to do with them? Well, we just beat them. Tell them to stop teaching. Beat them. Give them a good beating. That'll stop them. Let them go. Instead, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now look at verse 42. And they daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And daily in the temple. Why? Because that's what they were told to do. And they didn't stop there, and in house to house. And in every house, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus. Don't miss it, folks. They had a decision to make. God said, go stand in that temple and preach the words of this life. Men said, you do it, you're going to get a beating. They had a decision to make. And you have one to make as well. Hey, our Lord knows what it's like to have to make a decision. The worst thing about the sufferings of Christ, folks, was not the cross. The worst things about the suffering of Christ was the decision to go to that cross. Well, you read about it in Matthew chapter 26. Jesus went out to that garden. Thomas talked to us about it this morning a little bit. Goes out to that garden. And he leaves his disciples and he goes a stone's throw further. And he falls down on his face and he prays three times, doesn't he? Oh, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will be done. And the silence, the deafening silence from heaven at that moment is saying, there's no other way. There's no other way. And Jesus said, okay, if there's no other way, decision made. Isn't that right? Decision made. Here comes the soldiers from the temple out to arrest him. They get out there. They think they're in charge, don't they? They think they're in charge. Jesus meets them and says, who you looking for? We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. I'm he. And they fall back. They think they're in charge. But in case they are in charge, Judas denies him with a kiss. They start to take him. Peter draws a sword and cuts off the ear of Malchus. Remember? Cuts off the ear of Malchus. And Jesus says, put that sword up. This is verse number 53. Thinkest thou not that I could even now pray to my Father and he'd send 12 legions of angels? Why didn't he? Because he'd already spent that time sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Making the decision. Now the decision has been made. It's been made. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I'm the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. He'll then say, I lay down my life of my own will. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of my own will, and I can take it of my own will. And he could have, couldn't he? He could have. But he made the decision. He made the decision not to. Look with me, if you would, at 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John, the second chapter. Beginning in verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know him. Do you know him? Do you know him? See, that's one of the reasons we have such trouble with disobedience. We don't like being told to do anything by somebody we don't know. Hereby, we know that we know him. I'm telling you, get to know him. You won't have a problem with obedience. Hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth's not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we're in him. How do we know that we're in him? If we keep his commandments. It's a decision, though. It's a decision that has to be made. That has to be made by every one of us. God's not going to force you to do anything. He'll command you. He'll command you, but he's not going to force you to obey him. He's not going to do that. He's going to leave that decision up to you and to me, whether we'll do it. And so what are our reasons for obedience? Our reasons are these. It's a duty. It's a debt. It's a delight. It's a decision. A decision. Let me give you one thing in closing. It's important that we understand there is no statute of limitation on obedience to God. There is no statute of limitation. Well, I've gone this long without obeying him, and things to be going okay. I'll just continue to disobey him. There's no statute of limitations on disobedience. God's not going to forget you. He's not going to forget it. I heard about an old father and his son. The mom had long since died and gone to heaven. The old father and the son one night were sitting on a cold night, sitting in front of the fireplace, trying to stay warm. And the father said to the son, Son, the fire is burning down. You know, it's getting kind of chilly again in here. Please, get a stick of wood and put on the fire. And the son just sat there. Just sat there. The father said again, Son, take a stick of wood and put it on the fire. And the son just sat there. And the father said again, Son, you're living in my house. We've never done this, have we? You're living in my house. You're sleeping in my bed. You're eating my food. Take a stick of wood, put it on the fire. No. If you want to live in my house, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to keep. And the son said, Well, if that's the way it is, I won't live in your house anymore. And he got up and he stormed out, slamming the door. Went off into the dark. He stayed out there for weeks. Then one day, he began to think to himself, What a fool I've been. What a fool I have been. My father has done everything for me. He's taken care of me all my life. what a fool I've been. And he went home. And he knocked on that door. And when the father opened the door, there stood his son. His father just grabbed him and kissed him. Tears ran down his father's cheek. He said, "Welcome home, son. Welcome home. I'm glad you're back. Come on in." "Oh, but before you sit down, son, put a stick of wood on the fire." Folks, that's the way it is with God. We're going to be judged. John 12:48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, the same hath one that shall judge him in the last day. The word that I have spoken, they shall judge you in the last day." Folks, you're going to meet up with this book again. Don't you think you ought to at least read it one time? You're going to be judged by this book. Don't you think you ought to know what it says? Don't you think you need to understand what God's commands are to you? Does that not make a little bit of sense? Because you're going to meet up with it again. John chapter 20, John says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. No one too small, no one too great. And I saw them standing before God. And the books were open." You can argue with me about what some of those what those books are. I'm not in the arguing business. I can tell you the words of Jesus are going to judge you, right? "And the books were opened, and another book, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of things that were written in that book." And the dead were judged out of things written in that book. Hey, you may have gone this long without becoming a Christian. Well, man, I've made it. I have made it. There is no statute of limitations when it comes to obedience to God. There is none. Oh, that's next week. You can forget that, and I ain't going there. I thought I had that hid. I'm sorry. But there is no statute of limitations. There isn't. If you're going to go to heaven, you're going to have to obey God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Y'all remember this, right? "To you who are troubled, rest with us. The Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and who have obeyed not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." You're going to have to obey. You're not going to go to heaven and not obey God. You're going to have to become a Christian. You're going to have to do it. And you say, "Well, I made it this far." Okay, all right. I'm not going to argue with you. You made it this far. How much further do you think you're going to make it? Because if you don't go to heaven, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? There's no statute of limitations. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, it's time for you to become one. Obey from the heart that form of doctrine delivered unto you. What is that form of doctrine? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's Romans 6:17. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. "Know you not, so many of us have been baptized into Jesus Christ, been baptized into his death. Wherefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised, even so we're also raised to walk in newness of life." That's what you need to do. You need to obey from the heart that form of doctrine delivered unto you. You need come with a heart full of faith and an attitude of repentance and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning by being baptized. Then there are those of us who have done that. And we say, "Well, okay, I'm not obedient in everything, but there's such minor things." There are such minor things. I know the Lord said he wants me to worship, but hey, you know, there are other things. There are other things. I know the Lord said he wanted me to give, but I'm not giving. I'm not giving. Listen, folks, iniquity is a fist in the face of God. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to do it. Okay. All right. There are consequences, though. There are consequences. "Well, I know he said, share the good news of Jesus Christ with my friends and family, with the ones I can't kin. But That's not for me. That's not for me. Hey, disobedience. Disobedience is as witchcraft, iniquity, and idolatry. And we, as children of God, don't practice any of those, do we? That means we're obedient. But if you've been living different than that, then you need to seriously consider the course of your life, the direction that you're taking, and repent. And repent. This morning, if you're here and we can help you in any way, we need to know about it. We're here to help one another. This morning, if you stand in need of the invitation of Jesus Christ as someone who's never become a Christian, or as someone who has become a Christian, but has taken obedience as kind of a joke, kind of something to laugh off, we ask you, come to Jesus. If we can help you with that, we'll do it. You make your wishes and desires known by making your way to the front. Do that right now as together we stand and sing.